We all know cats are intelligent. Felix Cat Insurance was able to secretly record two cats on a hidden microphone. Let's listen in.
Did you hear the one about the three dogs at the park?
That's old, like four lives ago. But did you hear about the new pet insurance just for cats from felixcatinsurance.com?
Of course. What do I look like, a dog?
When you're coughing up a furball. Yes. Listen, Felix Cat Insurance plans start at under $1 per day and are as unique as you and me. They call it whisker-to-tail protection.
Even furballs?
Even that. Remember the last time you had a furball? I made a TikTok. It went viral.
Oh, well, that's good. Wait, you're on social media?
There you have it. Felix Cat Insurance. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. FelixCatInsurance.com. Get it? Meow. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit FelixCatInsurance.com/terms.
Basketball season is finally back, and BetQL is ready to help you win more consistently this year. BetQL is an absolute game changer if you're looking to find trends to help you win. Make smarter bets on spreads, totals, player props, and more. BetQL has already helped over 300,000 people with powerful analytics and community insights. Don't airball your opportunity this basketball season. Visit BetQL.com for their free daily analysis today. That's BetQL.com.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We have breaking news. Now, the story that I'm going to tell you about first is not the breaking news. But I did read last night, I was going down the rabbit hole of reels and TikToks, and I did see a TikTok that Tom Brady and Arena Shake, I think her last name is, the model that he started dating after the whole split with Gisele Bündchen, they are no more. And there's actually some rumors that Arena is now back together or dating or seeing Bradley Cooper, which Bradley Cooper, oftentimes when there was a Starbucks adjacent to our office here at our 345 Hudson Street studios, would be seen in that Starbucks. I once had, I was in line getting a coffee and Bradley Cooper was there. And I knew it was Bradley Cooper. And the guy, regular guy, gets his name on the coffee. And everyone knew Bradley Cooper was in there. And the barista knew it as well. And she was like, Bradley, your coffee's ready. He didn't even use an alias or anything like that. I was surprised. But I guess when you're that good looking and that famous like Bradley Cooper is, you're not going to get away with an alias or no sunglasses are going to help you. But he was a very nice man. I've seen him in that Starbucks at least like four or five times when it was there. But that was like the only day I remember having some conversation with them. It was about like 30 seconds. But since Arena and Tom Brady are no more, I really don't care about her, because if you get rid of my mans in TB12 and the person that I support in the legendary Tom Brady, do whatever you want to do after that. You're out of my life. So I don't give a rat's ass what you do anymore. But we do have major breaking news. Major breaking news. And this is via Entertainment Tonight about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Now, Stu, you are a Swiftie, sources tell me. Correct, Amundo?
I would say so, yes.
Oh, wow. You went from, yeah, I was sort of a Swiftie to now I would say so. That means you enjoyed the show that you basically spent your life savings on to go make your girlfriend
happy. I loved the show. Oh, I adored it.
Fan?
It was great.
You would
it
go back?
Yes.
How much money did you spend?
It was a lot. It was like seven. It was like $700 something.
$700?
Yes.
Where were you sitting?
Floor.
Well, okay. Per like, seat or like for you and the girl?
No.
Per seat.
Wow. Yeah.
That's not even a question.
We could have. I mean, if I sold that ticket, I probably gotten like three or four times that amount.
Did you get a deal?
No.
No.
This was pre-sale too. This wasn't even secondary market.
How
this
many rows away from the stage? Because when you see a generational artist like that, even though I'm not like a pit person or a floor person for a concert, I prefer like a seat in the stands a little bit further away, because like people get wild when they're on the floor and things like that. You know, 10, 15 years ago, Zach Gelb would love to be sitting in the pit and all that. But now, like, I'm okay being a little bit further away. But how many rows were your way? When you do see someone that close, it's, like, insane.
So, it was where the stage comes out.
Okay. Like,
So we were like...
Like the first layer of the stage or the second layer?
The second layer, like okay. the strip yeah. that comes out. And we were like, I think we were like seats 8 through 11.
Oh, so
we
you're pretty damn close.
Yeah, we're really close.
So you were 8 to 11 away from the second stage. How about the main stage? 30 rows, 40
yeah,
rows?
Yeah, I would say something like
That's pretty damn good.
20 to 30, yeah.
That's a life-changing experience.
It's really cool.
Do you have any Taylor Swift memorabilia? Do you have a friendship bracelet?
I do not. I have a t-shirt from the concert.
Okay. You wear that a lot?
I've worn it once.
You
I
go
think.
To the gym?
Do I go to the gym with it? I've only worn it once, I think. Okay. So, yeah.
I think you should wear it to work one day.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll wear it tomorrow.
Samter, are you a Swiftie? Just wondering. you don't resonate as a Swiftie.
Shake It Off.
I feel like you got to be a positive person to be a Swiftie.
No, I like positive music. I feel like I would like her music. I just don't know enough of it. I know Shake It Off. Okay. I've heard of Karma only because of recent shows in which she changed lyrics to match that of Mr. Kelce. But I couldn't name more than two or three songs of hers.
All right, so the breaking news. What do you think the breaking news is? This is from Entertainment Tonight. They have 2.2 million followers. At first, I was so taken aback by this news. My jaw hit the floor. Yeah, okay. I had to make sure, and it has the yellow badge on Twitter. This is legit Entertainment Tonight. ET Now, not ET Phone Home. ET Now, Entertainment Tonight, X official X page. What do you guys think the news is between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Does the news begin with the letter of the entertainment source?
So you're assuming this is an engagement?
E. Yeah, does it begin with an E?
That would be a no.
Wow. That's where I was going to go with an engagement.
Not an engagement. That'd be a pretty quick engagement.
Well, so I could be wrong, think that they have been dating a lot longer. And the whole Kelce on the podcast and mm-hmm. I wish I could meet her.
Was a setup?
Was kind of like them slowly entering the world into, hey, we've been dating. Let's kind of ease our way into that. I think they've been dating for quite a while.
I don't think someone that big of a star like Taylor Swift has any private moments in terms of where you could get Travis Kelce and them in the same room without somebody realizing. Like her apartment in New York City, there are people that whenever they get a sniff that she is going to appear and she is going to leave the apartment, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. So I don't know how they would secretly date unless it was via Zoom, and then there's no nookie-nookie time going on.
And you never know,
there.
They could have met at parties and been talking on the phone.
Like in inner circles that collide?
Correct.
But there would have been some photo of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift then together before this. It's not as if you could just throw him in a popcorn machine and throw him around anywhere. Like, this is a large human being, a gargantuan human being in Travis Kelce.
Apparently I'm incorrect because the engagement is not the reality. So now there's one other side of it that I'm potentially going, and I'm hoping I'm not right about that.
Well, you only get one guess. So, Stu, what is your guess? If it's not engagement, would you guess that this was a breakup?
I'm not guessing that. I would guess it is a move-in situation. That's my guess.
Ooh, that they'd be living together. That would also be a little bit quick.
I did read that Taylor was, he just bought a new house, and I read that she was looking at potentially buying a new house. So maybe they're buying a house together?
No, I actually may have sold this story a little bit too.
Oh. I mean, you're saying it's major, major breaking news. I'm feeling like there's something big going on here.
Well, it's sort of big news. Like, this is a big life occurrence that shows the legitimacy of this relationship.
If you say, like, they're getting a dog together, then I'm walking out.
That would be cute.
Yeah, but then I'm walking out. Because, yeah, it's cute, but it's not major news.
But,
it's cute.
But if you're getting a dog, you know what that means? You're delaying something. Like, one of my friends got a dog. He thought he was going to be able to delay engagement. That didn't really work out. When my friends got a dog, thought they'd be able to delay having a kid. That didn't work out. The dog is just used where let's pretend like we're parents. Let's pretend like it's a couple. There's nothing else from that. But other things are going to need to transpire. Now, you may just want a dog because dogs are cool and cute and awesome and cuddly and lovely to have. But usually when a couple gets a dog, it's like delaying the inevitable.
She's also more of a cat person, so I don't know if that'll work.
Really?
Stu.
That breaks my heart.
Stu!
It
really
two cats.
Does. It's well, first off.
Just telling you.
Samter.
He's such a Swiftie. I love it, Stu.
Samter actually
you.
Got the lead here.
Notre Dame, Raiders, Swiftie.
Add and the Lakers. Don't forget about them.
It's amazing.
Samter is right. that went right over my head that I was in shock that Stu knew that. It was like, oh, I'm disappointed that she's a cat person. I slept over. My best friend got into one of my good friends got into a car accident. Him and his girlfriend, they bought a house together. Talking about delaying engagement and delaying topics. So I went to their house, and as I'm getting there, like, oh, are you allergic to cats? And I'm like, no. They go, oh, well, we have one cat. Now, I'm not a big cat person. I like dogs. But this cat was basically like a dog. It acted a lot, very similarly to a dog. So, Stu, let me ask you this.
Okay.
You've been in a relationship how long?
A little over 2 years now.
2 years. How long did it take you to meet the parents?
3 months.
3 months.
I think, about, give or take.
Stu moves quick. Stu moves very quick. Big game Monday night, right, folks? We have the Chiefs, and we do have the Philadelphia Eagles. Taylor Swift's family, and at least I think the father and Taylor Swift, they grew up as Eagles fans. We all know Travis Kelce plays for the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? And also, Jason Kelce plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's a whole Kelce party. ET has learned that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's parents are expected to meet for the first time at Monday's Kansas City game, where the Chiefs and Eagles are scheduled to face
off.
That
can't be right. She's met Donna Kelce multiple times.
But both parents, everyone involved there. Just Donna Kelce. Papa Ed, by the way, did you, during that whole Super Bowl week, the Kelces are together. You would think they're like one big happy family, no issues whatsoever. I had no clue that they were divorced, that they were separated, and that when Travis and Jason were growing up, they were sleeping in separate beds. I remember doing my show. I was doing my show. Adjacent to my show was the Kelce podcast. Travis and Jason Kelce were doing the show at Radio Row right next to us. And actually, Maggie Gray kind of big-timed the Kelce family. She kind of big-timed them, where the parents walked right past. It was Bill Ryder, Andrew Filippone. It was Maggie Gray and yours truly. And the parents, like, waved to us. We go, oh, congratulations. And Maggie, since she was turned away from the people that were crossing, didn't even turn around. And then Maggie realized what happened. She's like, I just big-timed the biggest story of the week. And it was very funny. But I never knew that those parents were divorced. Kind of crazy with the way that story was portrayed. So, Big Papa Ed Kelce, Donna Kelce, and then Taylor Swift's parents are all going to be together Monday night, I guess under one roof in one luxury box for a little Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Big story right there.
You know what? I think it would have been a bigger story if I didn't just see her change the lyrics to her song in Argentina and then run off the stage and make out with Travis Kelce sitting backstage and then, you know, walk in with him. Like, that to me was the bigger, like, holy crap, like, this is legit. He flew to freaking South America, and she changed the lyrics of her song to include him and then ran backstage to kiss him. Like, this is
big time. They're a legit couple.
Yeah, this is big time.
I'm actually hearing wedding bells. I hope that this ends in marriage. I think they are perfect for each other. I think they are a good couple. And with how many people tried to say that this relationship wasn't legit, I hope it goes all the way here.
I have to ask Stu this, because Stu would know better.
That would be bigger, by the way, than the royal wedding. Remember the royal wedding that occurred? And it was like, oh, whatever, blah. There was a lot of controversy after that, too. Between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle? Like, that was a big deal. I remember doing the weekend overnights here, and that was on in this studio. And we had to comment on it. That was not an American thing. Like, yeah. In America, this would be the royal wedding.
Yeah, this would be our...
This would be our royal wedding. With
this was Jay-Z and
Travis
Beyonce,
Kelce.
But, you know...
Yeah!
But this feels bigger because the courtship has been so public.
But also, so, obviously, I'm like a huge, 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 huge Beyonce fan. And I'm a big Jay-Z fan. One of my favorite musicians ever, right after Bruce Springsteen. And I went to the Jay-Z museum that they actually made in Brooklyn, which was awesome. But now with social media... And the level of ridiculousness that social media got to, the coverage of that wedding would be out the wazoo. It would absolutely be bonkers. Now, by the way, real quickly, talking about bonkers, did you see what Lions... Stu, were you about to say something here? You about to give us
No, I was
going to
ask
feedback?
Stu a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So obviously, Stu, she's dated a lot of celebrities. She's dated mostly musicians and other artists That have been
who's
big
the most
time.
Famous person that she's dated? I don't really know the dating history of Taylor Swift.
One
of the
Jonas's, right? Or
yeah.
Is it like Ed Sheeran, maybe? Or
it's probably one of the.
Wait. She dated Ed Sheeran? There's no way.
Was it Ed Sheeran? No. One of the Jonas's or something. But she's dated some big
times. I once saw an Ed Sheeran interview. It's one of the great lines of all time. He goes, God gave me the gift of playing guitar, because if you see an ugly kid like myself and he doesn't have the ability to play the guitar, there would be no chance that he would actually ever get laid. That's one of the all-time great Ed Sheeran lines.
So Joe Jonas, Taylor Lautner, John Mayer, those are some of the bigger names.
The John Mayer one, you're right, I knew about.
Yes.
Oh, those are big names.
So, and then, I'm seeing another list. Tom Hiddleston, who played Loki, right? So, you have Jake Gyllenhaal, apparently, is one of the guys.
Harry
Styles is the guy that I was thinking of.
Did you see, by the way, he shaved his head, Harry Styles?
Yeah. It's very interesting.
What is he doing?
But so there's a lot of big names here, but I don't remember any of these names, like, being such a big deal. Like, I remember the John Mayer thing being big because she wrote a song about it. But at the time of her dating him, it didn't seem like this huge thing. Stu, as a Swiftie, has this courtship of her with Travis Kelce felt different, felt bigger, or is it just because we're in the sports world, we're noticing it more?
No, it's bigger. I think it's definitely bigger. And it's kind of bringing the two sides together, you know, like the Swifties and the sports fan kind of all intermingling them together.
By the way, I got to bring this up, and then we'll hit the break. We'll do Take Five Wednesday, and we'll circle back on this Deshaun Watson topic later. That's sometimes what just happens on the show. We start talking about Taylor Swift, and you never get off the topic. Did you see what Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams did? I don't even know if the Weedos and the Purple Drinkers would do this if they were severely intoxicated. Like, Brian, I don't even know if he would try this. Maybe he would. Jameson Williams, this is on TMZ, topped his McDonald's burger with a McFlurry this week. Now, let me be clear. It's not as if you ordered the McFlurry and then you ate the McFlurry after eating the burger. He opened up the burger and put the McFlurry on the burger to enhance the flavor, he said. What do you think about that ruling?
Love it. Ice cream and meat? Yeah, absolutely.
I need some performance-enhancing substances, let's just say, if I'm going to be eating ice cream on the burger. Actually, on the burger.
Oh, yeah, that's good, though.
Stu?
I would try it.
You would try it?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never had anything like that, but, you know, it's intriguing.
I guess I really have no standards. I am the dope on this show that ate ranch dressing covered in ice cream.
Yeah, like I'd rather have that than the ranch and ice cream.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoyed doing that. We just tried it. And actually, it wasn't that bad, but it was not something I'd go back to the well. I think my quote was that got picked up by Awful Announcing. It tastes like crap, but it's actually not that bad. And I got a lot of messages. What the heck does that even mean? Are you a moron? You know what my biggest surprise here is about this? Now, I haven't been to McDonald's in a while. But when I used to be, like, really heavy and go to McDonald's, anytime you went to Mickey D's, I felt like the McFlurry machine was never working. So what's the plug that Jameson Williams has? Maybe. Hold on. Maybe there was a reason why he was betting. He was in cahoots when he was making those bets with the Detroit Lions with the person at McDonald's. They were working together, and then the winnings got the McFlurry machine fixed out. That's what I think actually may have happened there. Because this guy has some sick fetish of putting the McFlurry on top of the burger. So that's my latest theory. Anyway, I'll shut up because it's time to take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Take Five Wednesdays next. We'll give you my top five teams in the NFL and college football.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it's Take Five Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's roll through with college football first, because there's not a lot of changes from what did transpire in the last week. In at number five, I put the Ducks of Oregon Oregon may be the hottest team in college football right now, and you can make the case that they are one of the more complete teams in college football. And I've been impressed with after they lost when they failed to make that field goal to force the game into overtime against Washington, how they responded with the vengeance. And we've seen them beat Washington State 38-24, crush Utah at Utah 35-6, destroy Cal 63-19. And even though USC is reeling, you had a USC team that has a good offense, and you were still able to defeat them 36-27. Oregon wraps up the season with Arizona State and Oregon State, and I hope we see Washington and Oregon back in the Pac-12 championship. In a number four, I do put Florida State. Florida State, their wins haven't aged well, but I think we need to look at those wins when they occurred. And that victory to start the season up against LSU, where they wiped LSU off the field in the second half, that was such a dominant performance. Maybe one of the more dominant performances we've seen in college football this year, outside of Oregon going up against Utah. But LSU was portrayed to be a better team than Utah was at any point of the season. In at number three, Washington. I know they went through that two-week kind of scare where they were playing with fire and the games were close and they had to gut it out late. But Washington, I think it's a joke that they're ranked by five by the College Football Playoff Committee. And the last 2 weeks, they got back in the good graces, I guess, of America, still being undefeated 10-0, taking care of business against USC by 10 points, putting the nail in the coffin for Alex Grinch, and then last weekend taking advantage of Utah as well. Rest of the way for Washington, Oregon State, that's a great game this weekend at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then they wrap up the season with Washington State. But right now, the Huskies, they have the best win in the country when they did take down Oregon by that final score of 36-33. Michigan, first legitimate win of the season, and it was dominant fashion. I don't care what the final score says. That defense exposed Penn State offense, which is really all hype and all sizzle, and they haven't put it together this year in their two biggest games of the season. We saw that Penn State offense not show up against Ohio State and not show up against Michigan. And then offensively, that is maybe the most dehumanizing performance to an opponent that we've seen in college football this year. Where what I mean by that is Michigan said, we don't need to throw the ball with J.J. McCarthy. It's not because they didn't trust J.J. McCarthy. It's not because they didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy. They knew that they could just line up their offensive line with Edwards, with Corum, also the mobility of J.J. McCarthy, and run right through a very good defense of Penn State like a hot knife through butter. And Manny Diaz, oh, my friend, Snake Diaz, the defensive coordinator at Penn State. How about all those signals that you were given? How about, oh, on third down, get up, make some noise. Jeez, you talk all that smack, you post that video before the game, and your defense doesn't even allow the team in the second half. And the team in the second half, they look right at you. They go, we're not even going to throw the ball. We're just going to run and have some fun. Bad look for Manny Diaz. And it also got the offensive coordinator fired, as Yurcich is now out of a job. And James Franklin, who is now 3-17 up against top 10 teams, continues to get exposed. And then in number one, it's the Bulldogs of Georgia. Remember when people thought Georgia was vulnerable? And I said, Georgia being vulnerable is like when people say Kansas City's vulnerable. Now Brock Bowers is coming back for this Tennessee game quicker than what anyone really thought. And look at what Georgia's done the last 2 weeks. Missouri gave a good effort. Give credit to Missouri. They're in the top 10. That's a good job by the College Football Playoff Committee. But you had a top 10 Ole Miss team last weekend, and it wasn't even a game. 52-17 was the final score. So there's my top five in college football. Oregon 5, Florida State 4, Washington 3, Michigan 2, and Georgia in at 1. Big Mike CBS, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I mean, you do week after week after week. Mm-hmm. I mean, the former number one team in the country, now number two, the Ohio State Buckeyes, you left them off the list. I understand that Oregon is good, but they have a loss. How can you leave the number one / number two team in the country off your top five list?
So I will say this. After seeing Michigan's performance up against Penn State, it does reiterate to me that I believe Michigan is a better team than Ohio State. But I went from thinking that game would be a 14-point game to it probably now being a 7-point game. I just have not been impressed by Ohio State. The thing I've been impressed with Ohio State is their defense. I think their defense is awesome. I think their defense is phenomenal. Marvin Harrison Jr., the offensive side of the ball, I've said this all year, he is the best non-quarterback in college football. But I believe the overall team on all three phases compared to what Michigan have against Ohio State is better. Now, you would say, Zach, well, that's just Michigan in front of Ohio State. How do you not have them in the top five? When I watch Ohio State, I've just seen too many times where they struggled. Like, they struggled up against Wisconsin. They struggled up against Rutgers as well. And then it's like against Notre Dame, they should have lost that game. Notre Dame couldn't count, which is crazy with how smart the guys are that are part of Notre Dame. Kyle McCord should have thrown an interception against Notre Dame. Notre Dame dropped the ball. So this is all coming down to Michigan and Ohio State. And I will not put Ohio State in my top five until I see them take care of business up against Michigan. And Georgia's better. Washington is better wins. The one against Oregon. You look at Florida State. That's a well-rounded, tough football team. And I believe in Jordan Travis more than Kyle McCord. And I believe in Bo Nix more than I do Kyle McCord as well. And I trust Dan Lanning more than Ryan Day. So that's why I don't have Ohio State in there. And I know Michael Fry in the YouTube chat's probably cursing me out right now. And I'm supposed to meet him at Michigan for the Michigan-Ohio State game and buy him a beer. I wonder if he's going to take that beer and just throw it in my face and be like, I'm sick of all the propaganda you've been spewing this year.
It will be interesting if Ohio State loses, but it's a tight game and they look like they belong with Michigan. That's going to be where it gets interesting.
Well, the only thing that would be interesting about that is if everyone else falls down, because that's how Ohio State got a pass last year and got into the college football playoff, because everyone else fell down. I think there's too many teams this year with what's happening in the Pac-12 with Washington and Oregon, looking like Florida State's going to be undefeated as an ACC champion, even though Louisville's done a heck of a job this year with Jeff Brohm going back home. And then you're going to have Big Ten champ undefeated, Georgia, Alabama already set in the SEC title game, and there's a good chance if Texas doesn't Texas, and they actually are back, that Texas is a one-loss Big 12 champs. So I don't think enough teams are going to fall.
If Oregon beats Washington and they all have one loss, and then either Ohio State and Michigan has one loss, so it's going to be interesting to see how some of these one-loss teams...
A lot of chaos.
Yes, there's a lot of potential for chaos, for sure.
And
it could also
quickly
be nothing. It could be Georgia, Michigan, Washington, FSU, and boom, we're in.
It also further shows why going to 12 is a mistake, because the chaos, the mayhem goes away going to 12. If you want to see 6 or 8, okay to expand, but to go right to 12, it's too many teams.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you on that forever. But let's go to some other teams that you've left out.
You know why? Because you're a participation trophy guy.
It's not participation
trophy. I heard you're going to be
trophy.
The new OC at Penn State.
No, it's not participation trophy. I want to see the playoffs. Having 8-12 teams compete for a championship versus 4 teams compete for a championship. Yes, it does diminish the regular season, but the playoffs are so much more interesting.
So you said 8. You said 8. I could live with 8. 12 is too many. But what do we got next? Go ahead.
How about Bama and Texas?
Yeah, I think it's similar. Right now, Texas needs to be in front of Alabama. They are in the college football playoff committee. They are in my rankings as well. I would buy stock in Alabama because I do think Alabama has the potential to beat Georgia. I'd probably give the edge to Georgia right now by like a field goal just because I trust their offense more than Alabama's offense. But Milroe's done really good job the last few weeks. Texas beat Alabama, so that's why Texas is in front of Alabama. I just think if Texas played Oregon, who's at my 5 spot, I just trust that Oregon team more than I do Texas. And I'm also curious to see, with Quinn Ewers back, I know he played last week, just how much rust is there to knock off with the injury that suffered, and can he stay healthy?
And I think it's interesting with Texas and Alabama that, yes, Texas beat Alabama, but Alabama has the better schedule, has the better wins, has the overall better challenge. I mean, you have Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU. Eventually, they're going to have to play Georgia. If they win, they're going to have one loss, but they'll have that win over Georgia. Whereas, you know, Texas beat Kansas.
Who's a good team? Leipold's a good coach.
Sure. They beat K-State in overtime. They lost to Oklahoma. Yeah, they beat Alabama on the road, and that's their big win. But, like, otherwise,
well, you know,
Wyoming,
this.
Baylor, Rice, Houston, BYU, TCU, Iowa State, Texas Tech. Texas doesn't have the same resume, and it's going to be interesting. Do you take the broader picture, or you take that one game?
I think the one game should matter more, especially because they went into Tuscaloosa and got that victory on Alabama's campus. But it doesn't matter what I think should happen. What will happen, there is no way that in the final year of 4 teams being in the college football playoff, that an SEC team is not going to get in. And there's no way they're going to keep out a one-loss Alabama. out of the college football playoff if they're an SEC champ.
And
no
Alabama,
shot.
I mean, just correct me if you disagree, but I think Alabama feels different now than they did 6 weeks ago.
Fair.
Jalen Milroe has figured it out, and Jalen Milroe is a force to be reckoned with, as opposed to earlier in the season where he wasn't quite there yet. But anyway, that's it for me on the college football side with Bama, Ohio State, and Texas.
Let me go to the NFL. This one was tough. Because anytime you start to really fall in love with a team outside of the Eagles, they go down in the NFL. And like the Ravens, I put them as the second best team in football last week, and they just had what looked like was going to be a dominant victory against the Browns, and the Browns come back. So this is tough. I put the 49ers back in the top five. And I defended the 49ers. I did take them out of the top five, but I said when they get healthy, they'll show how dominant they are. They did that up against the Jaguars. So the 49ers, welcome back to the top five. You're in at number five. Four, it's the Detroit Lions. They are rolling. They are feeding into Dan Campbell's message. They have for the last 2 years. They were building something special. They've taken off this year. They're 7-2. They did lose to the Seahawks. They did lose to the Baltimore Ravens. They lost to the Seahawks in double overtime, too. But their schedule is pretty easy peasy. I would be surprised if they're not the number two seed in the NFC. Three, I know they lost. Kind of a little bit fluky how it happened at the end. You know, very quickly had a big lead. Then an interception occurred. I'm still going to go with the Baltimore Ravens in at number three because Lamar Jackson is healthy and that's so big. And he's starting to develop a little chemistry with Odell Beckham Jr. and their defense is awesome. Two, Kansas City benefited from a bye week. They go up because the Ravens fall down. And if the AFC continues to be open, I'm still going to, you know, believe in this Kansas City Chiefs team until someone takes them out. And their defense has not been appreciated enough this year in the NFL. And in at number one, Ryan in Santa Barbara is probably already poisoning us with ice cream that he sent earlier in the week. And he's going to send more and he's going to try to poison us and kill us. I'm still putting the Philadelphia Eagles in at the number one spot. So 49ers 5, Lions 4, Ravens 3, Chiefs 2, and the EAGLES Eagles in at number one. Samter, speak now, forever hold your peace.
We haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, but how about the Miami Dolphins? You don't think that they belong in that mix?
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. That song is very catchy.
Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
I think who you play matters when you get into these tiebreakers. And in their biggest games of the season, they have not been able to defeat those teams. They lose to the Eagles. They get crushed by the Buffalo Bills, and that loss is looking worse and worse. So I see Miami. They lose to Kansas City. When Kansas City only scored 21 points and they had a defensive touchdown, like they held that offense to 14 points, and then Tua let them down at the end. So not performing well and getting one of those victories against the good teams, and then Tua on that sequence in Germany up against the Chiefs, underthrowing what would have been a game-winning touchdown, a wide-open touchdown, or a game-tying touchdown, and then the next play fumbling the snap. Good team, but not a great team, and that's why they're not a top-five team.
I mean, this team was rolling, and obviously they got bad news today, but do you think the Browns have a chance to crack that top five?
And I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's 1st and 10. Here we go, Brownies, here we go.
Oh, no. No longer. Woof, woof. Yeah, I got to take Cleveland out. They were on the cusp of entering the top five conversation. Still would not have gotten in the top five conversation after the Watson news, because Watson hasn't been playing good football. He's been on and off the field because of the injury. Now losing Deshaun Watson, you have to go back to the well with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. If it doesn't work out, they go to P.J. Walker, go Owls. Yeah, that's a tough sell for me. So that's why I had the Browns out.
And the last one, the team that just dominated those New York football Giants.
Tommy DeVito's.
Dak Prescott, the MVP favorite, the greatest quarterback in the NFL,
yeah,
and the Dallas
Cowboys.
Yeah,
glue, he's the MVP favorite. Give me a break.
Well, Dominic Foxworth and Get Up all say that he is.
Yeah, I'm Team Orlovsky on that one. They beat the Giants 40-0. They beat the Jets 30-10. They did lose to the Arizona Cardinals. So all you dopey Cowboys fans that are like, how can you say C.J. Stroud is better when he just lost to the Panthers? Your quarterback lost to the Cardinals, and you guys have more talent than C.J. Stroud has. Now, when you look at that team compared to the Cowboys compared to the Texans. They beat the Patriots 38-3. First big game of the season. 49ers, they got smacked around 42-10. You beat the Chargers, who were basically the Walmart version of the Cowboys, 20-17. Then you beat the Rams, who are not the Rams of 2 years ago, 43-20. You lose to the Eagles, even when your quarterback plays well, but he choked with the game on the line. and then you crush Tommy DeVito 49-17. You'll crush the Panthers again this week, and you'll probably smack the Commanders on Thanksgiving. You see a trend here? Their two biggest games of the year that Miami Dolphin did. That's what they did.
We're verbing the Miami Dolphins?
That's probably not fair because they cowboyed it. This is what the Cowboys do.
The Dolphins cowboyed it. Yes. The Cowboys didn't dolphin it.
The Cowboys, this is nothing new. And it's actually laughable that Cowboys fans, because they blew out a team and they know that their team's not that good and they're insecure about their team and they know their team's not great, are now taking like the biggest victory lap this week. Enough. If I have to hear one more bleeping time that Dak Prescott is the MVP and the Cowboys are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, I don't know what you drama Dallas choking Cowboy cockroach fans are watching. Your team does the same damn thing every year. You win 12 games, you dress it up like you're this great team, and come postseason time, you choke. You choke. That's what you do. Reggie Miller, choke GIF. That's what you do over and over and over again. So win your 12 games, throw your parade, and then we'll see Jerry Jones basically jumping up and down, humping Chris Christie in that ugly orange sweater in a luxury box, and then he'll be sad because you'll blow a playoff game again. You go from jumping up and down, having a lead, to then another deflating loss for the drama Dallas Cowboys. So I don't think I answered your question, but the Cowboys just aren't in the top five. We'll take a break. Update time. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It's time to answer or ask the pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Brian chimes in, and he says, Zach, my coworker asked me if he should bet his friend a sausage biscuit that the Panthers would beat the Cowboys. I told him I'm realistic and said no. How many biscuits would you bet for a W? Now, this is a great question from Brian, and this would be my answer. There has to be a scale here, some odds that are in your favor. There is no way that the Cowboys are going to lose to the Panthers. If the Cowboys lose to the Panthers, I will be the happiest person in America, maybe outside of Stephen A. Smith. Oh, that would be so much fun after all the bull junk that Cowboys fans have been spewing this week. What I would say is, Brian, if you want to make that bet, like one biscuit's not going to kill you. If you are on the side of the Panthers and the Panthers lose, you have to give one biscuit to the Cowboy fan. But if the Cowboys lose that game, I think the Cowboy fan has to give the Panthers fan 220 sausage biscuits. I think that's pretty fair. Like, I know I just went on a rant and torched the Cowboys and said they're a fraudulent football team. They will beat the Panthers, though, because the Panthers suck. They're terrible. They're horrible. And I don't care where this game's being played. I know it's not in Jerry's world, but I do think that's fair. Panthers win. The friend gets 220 sausage biscuits from the Cowboy fan. But if the Cowboys win, the Panther fan only has to give one sausage biscuit. So that is the way that I would answer your question. I hope that helps you out. Let me tell you, I once went to Memphis for a wedding, and they have some good barbecue in Memphis. But one of my good friends got married in Memphis, met a gal from Memphis. They got engaged, married, the whole nine yards. I already have a kid, a beautiful kid, baby Abe. The brunch at that wedding on that following Sunday or Monday, I forget what it was, they had a sausage biscuit gravy, a biscuit covered in gravy. It was one of the most epic things I've ever had. That brunch, I still have dreams about that brunch. There was so much food at that brunch, I didn't know what to do. I got to take food onto the plane. That's how much food we had at this brunch. There were so many leftovers, and it was not because there was any shortage of food. It was just because there was so much damn food, and it was one of the more gluttonous experiences I've ever had in my life. All righty, finally, the Browns have lost to Deshaun Watson for the season following the shoulder injury. Going to need surgery. Where should the Browns go from here? They're going to start Dorian Thompson-Robinson this week. And then if it doesn't work, I guess they're going to go to P.J. Walker. They're going to bring somebody else in. Andrew Berry did say that they're planning on bringing somebody else in and then said they still believe in the room. So it was a very confusing answer. We played it for you earlier. But here are some names that I've just come together with and we'll throw out there. Tom Brady. You got to call Tom Brady. I believe Tom Brady will say no. you got to call just to kind of like play with Steelers fans. Ben Roethlisberger. I think Ben Roethlisberger is shot. He's done. When he was ending his career, he had no juice left in that arm and that shoulder. But I don't even think Ben Roethlisberger would take the phone call from the Cleveland Browns. Then Philip Rivers. I could see Philip Rivers, right? Who's been away for 2 years, coaching high school football, but supposedly there was a plan with the 49ers that they got to the Super Bowl that he would have started for the San Francisco 49ers. I think you place the phone call to Philip Rivers. Nick Foles. Now, Nick Foles, the last time we saw him on the football field, man, he took a bad hit up against the Giants, and it was really scary what happened. Usually I would dismiss Nick Foles, and I don't think Nick Foles is actually a good quarterback. He just had one great season and then a great run where he had those 27 touchdowns and two interceptions when he was getting coached by Chip Kelly, won the Pro Bowl MVP. And I mean, I didn't hear anything from Nick Foles. He goes back to Philadelphia, Wentz gets hurt, and then boom, he goes and wins the Super Bowl. The reason why I would say that you at least got to give Nick Foles a try is you're not asking him to be the starting quarterback for the entirety of the season. We're already in week 11. So since we're already in week 11, this is kind of Nick Foles territory where if there is any magic left in the tank, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. If this was week 4, week 5, like if this was week 1 when the Rodgers injury happened, I would dismiss it. I'm going to give you two more names here. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by this one. If I was advising Carson Wentz, who just signed with the Rams, I would tell Carson Wentz, go ask Sean McVay for your release. And then go to Cleveland. The Browns have a good offensive line. The Browns have enough weapons. And they have a heck of a defense. Now, I don't believe in Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is a horrible quarterback. And I think his ego is a detriment to him. But if you're telling me, would you rather be on the Rams right now or the Browns? It's not even close. Because I don't even know if he's going to start a game for the LA Rams this year. You would go walk in tomorrow and start over Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But the best option, and obviously this guy didn't want to do it, and this had legs, but it never ended up moving in that direction. We may see a three-man broadcast booth at CBS turn into a two-man broadcast booth. You could go from Andrew Catalan, Tiki Barber, and Matt Ryan to just Andrew Catalan and Tiki Barber. Because Matt Ryan would be the best option and the most realistic option, let me say, out of all the names that I've just thrown out there. Has only been out of the league for a year. This is his first year out of the league. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but Indianapolis last year did not have a good offensive line. Cleveland does have a good offensive line. Cleveland has a good defense. The Jets weren't attractive because their offensive line stinks. You were enjoying what you were doing in the broadcast booth, and you didn't want to just get smacked every time you run around or you drop back in the pocket because you just did that last year, and it wasn't fun for you. I could see the Browns, good football town too, fun environment, being enough later in the season for Matt Ryan to say, okay, I'll give one more attempt at this. The Browns, I think, would be a good option for not only Cleveland, but a good option for Matt Ryan. And I'll be very curious to see in the next 24 to 48 hours, or if this gets addressed. You know what? I got to talk to Tiki. And I know Tiki has said when the Jets were up that he does not think Matt Ryan's going to be going to the Jets. And we got to put the press on Tiki Barber this week. We need Tiki on the CBS broadcast. They're going to SoFi Stadium for the Rams game this weekend. We need Tiki to press Matt Ryan on the air and get an answer out of this. So I got some homework to do for the rest of the week. Fun show today. I'd like to thank Chris Jenkins from the Michigan football team. Really enjoyed that conversation. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening and watching this show on YouTube as well. Big thanks to Stuart Kovacs, Moist Mike. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out.